crazy. Oh, it's crazy. All right, hallelujah. Anyway, let me begin my message. A few weeks ago, I started a three-part sermon series on the gifts of the Spirit. And so, but for the last couple of weeks, we're on a little detour. But today, I'm going to come right back and preach the final message on the gifts of the Spirit series. All right. So let's review the first two messages. The first message was about the gifts of revelation. Hallelujah. Gifts of revelation. All right, those are three gifts. The next sermon was about the gifts of power, right? Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of just talk, but it's a matter of power. Hallelujah. And today we are going to cover the gifts of utterance. Hallelujah. Three of them reveal something, three of them do something, and three of them say something. Hallelujah. And that's what we're on today. The gifts of utterance. I just want to preach on today. Somebody say utterance.
Utterance.
Now, for those that don't know, I'm preaching from the position that all nine of the gifts of the Spirit are in operation today. Okay? Let me make that clear. My sermon is not intended to convince people of this position. Now, I might do some of that, but I decided that it won't be the main focus because I don't feel like it will be the best use of my preaching ministry today to try to use half my sermon persuading people of something that this congregation here is largely persuaded of already. All right? So if this is something that you are wrestling with, then there are some great books available, either in our bookstore or on Amazon, by authors like Jack Deere, Surprised by the Voice of the Spirit, Surprised by the Power of the Spirit, Robert Heitler, or John White. These are some authors that you can pick up who I believe give a very balanced discussion, all right? Or it's a proof book for arguing that these gifts of the Spirit are still in operation. I think they do a good job. I think they do a better job than me. So if you're really wrestling with this, go pick up a book, read up on it. Hallelujah. Now, personally, I read those books because I needed to hear both sides of the persuasion before I came to a firm conviction about what I believe. Okay? So I did read those books, and I can have respect for anyone who is still on that journey. All right? So I'm not looking down on anybody that's still wrestling with these issues. But like I said, I'm not here to convince you today. I'm here to preach to those who are already ready to step out and make themselves available. All right? So that's what my message is about today. How many of y'all in here are ready to get out the boat and walk on the water? If that's you, let me hear you say, I'm going to walk on water. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Get out that boat. We're about to walk on the water. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the gifts of utterance, they involve three gifts that say something. All right? When the gifts of revelation manifest, you may or may not be required to speak it out. All right? For example, if I'm praying for a friend and I get a word of knowledge that that friend of mine is going through deep depression, all right, God may simply want me to pray for that friend specifically. All right? He doesn't want me to call him up and say, hey, bro, God told me that you're going through depression. I mean, he told me you're in deep depression, like really deep. All right, that may not particularly edify your friend. All right, or when a gift of discerning between spirits comes upon me and I see that a person is struggling with a spirit of fear, I'm not going to go up to them and say, hey, what's your name? Yeah, David? Yeah. Hey, David, I see that you got a little demon of fear on your left shoulder there. All right, I just wanted to let you know because that's what God revealed to me through the spiritual gifts. All right, these revelation gifts, they don't always require that you speak it out, okay? But for that person who's struggling with a spirit of fear, instead I may respond by saying, nice to meet you. Hey, and talk to him a little bit and be like, you know what might help with that fear is you memorize 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. All right, that's how I might respond if that gift manifested. But when it comes to the gifts of utterance, instead of simply revealing something, God wants you to speak it out. All right? He's manifesting that gift so that you won't sit there and analyze and interpret it. He wants you to utter it, to speak it forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through the gifts of utterance, God brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So let's cover each of these gifts. The first of the gifts of utterance is called the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. Somebody say prophecy. Prophecy. Prophecy with a C. When it's a verb, prophecy with an S. Prophesy. Hallelujah. I used to win spelling bees when I was back in elementary school. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I don't know why. Anyway. Hallelujah. Now, gift of prophecy is where somebody simply speaks forth on behalf of God to specific people and their specific circumstance or heart issues. Okay? That's what the gift of prophecy is about. Now, don't get me wrong. When you read the Bible, the Word of God speaks to us too. Okay? God can use the Word of God to speak specifically to your situations. All right? But searching through the Word of God, it may or may not give you direct revelation regarding if you should take a particular job. Choosing a particular major. Marrying a particular person. Whether to avoid a particular business deal. Right? Like the Word of God may or may not give you that kind of direct revelation. But the gift of prophecy will. Hallelujah. All right, I'll give you some examples from the Old Testament. David, when he went out on certain battles, okay, he didn't look through Deuteronomy and Numbers and just rack his brains out looking for a word that applied to his battle. All right, he sought the gift of prophecy. He sought what God had to say for that particular battle by seeking out his prophets. All right, so when the prophet said, "You will gain the victory," David went in confidently, and he would gain the victory every single time. There's not a single battle that David lost where God said, "You will win." All right, or on the flip side, when David sinned with Bathsheba, okay, God brought Nathan, the prophet, to speak the words of prophecy and to rebuke and convict him for the sin that he had desensitized himself to. He had hidden it, and he thought he could have even hidden it from God. But Nathan exposed his sin and caused him to bring him to repentance. All right. Now, what Nathan said with those words of prophecy, David didn't write it down and said, "This is, you know, the word of God. This is just like the book of Numbers." All right. That was a word that was specific to his situation. And once it was fulfilled, it was done. Hallelujah. Okay. So people who study prophecy or talk about it, I get so tired of arguing with people who don't make that distinction. And even in the Old Testament, it's a clear distinction between the words of prophecy that Isaiah speaks. All right. And then there's words of prophecy from guys like Nathan or other prophets that don't have a book named after them, and yet that God used them as a prophet in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. All right. Let me share with you some personal testimonies. All right. Hallelujah. Because I don't think this is a kind of academic setting where I need to bring, like, you know, exegetical persuasions for some of the things I'm talking about. I'm going to bring some personal experience. All right. I've been so blessed and edified by the gift of prophecy in my life. Hallelujah. For most of my life, I didn't even know what it was until I got to college. And I met a gentleman named Brother Michael. Hallelujah. Everybody knows who he is, right? Hallelujah. Tiffany, one of my youngest students, was like, "I'm going to go back to New York and Staten Island. I'm gonna start every sentence with, my mentor, Brother Christian." Just like you did, Brother Michael. You're my Brother Michael. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, praise the Lord, Tiffany. Hallelujah. Anyway, Brother Michael, I didn't know what it was until he began to minister to me with it. All right? So I'll give you some examples. During 1 week when I was a NYU student, I had a very hard time studying that week because all I kept thinking about was my future marriage. I think I had just finished watching like a Korean drama or something. All right? But I couldn't get it out of my mind. So when I went to church that Sunday, Brother Michael prayed over me. And as he was praying over me, he began to say, "The Spirit of the Lord says that you've been thinking about your future marriage a lot this past week, to the point where it's even distracting to you. The Lord wants to encourage you, brother, to let that go. Pray, trust Him with your future, because God will bless you with a wife who is beautiful inside and out." Hallelujah! Amen. And I'll tell you right now, that's exactly the words I needed to hear on that week. You know, it just edified me so much. All right? And no one else could have known that except God, because I didn't talk to anybody else about that. I'll give you another example. May 26, 2005. This is about 3 years ago. A few months before I moved to Korea, I had lunch with Brother Michael. All right? And we oftentimes, after we eat, We go buffet. We go eat buffet, and after we eat, we get into the car, and we hold hands, and we pray in my car. And hallelujah. He said, "God will send someone, and he or she is going to hear me share about your, he's going to hear you share about your debt in a non-threatening way, see your heart for God, and he's going to pay off all your debt." Okay. That's what he said. Brother Michael said, "Somebody's going to hear about your debt, about your situation in ministry, and he's going to pay off all your debt. He or she." Hallelujah. You see, let me explain something. Going to NYU, it ain't cheap. On top of that, my family's poor. On top of that, I hung out in New York City a whole lot. All right, so if you saw me when I was at NYU, I didn't look like I was coming from a poor family. I don't want to give off that impression. All right, whenever we had birthday parties, all I could really afford was McDonald's, like, now, my brother Anthony, hallelujah, who left. God bless his heart. But all I could really afford was McDonald's. But people, man, everything in New York City, man, they want to go to those nice, expensive places. So I don't want to, like, cheap out, so I'll go. I'll tell you right now, at the end of my 4 years, okay, I had a credit card debt of over $10,000. All right. Some of y'all sitting there like, that ain't nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, man. Now, I had good paying jobs throughout college and even after college. And I was making my sacrifices to pay off that debt and to pay it down. But with all the high interest rates, I was barely making any progress in paying it off. It was the most discouraging thing. And when I got that prophecy from Brother Michael, I was so moved that God would be so gracious to me despite my careless and foolish ways. Brother Michael shared that he actually got the same word. And it took 15 years for him to see it fulfilled. So he was like, "Don't get discouraged, bro." Hallelujah. Well, I don't know how long it'd take, but I just received that word in faith. All right. So I'll tell you, before I finish this story, I also need to clarify that I am a missionary on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. Okay? I do not get a single dollar of income from CCC. I have to support raise in order to do what I do. And even as your pastor, I decided not to receive a salary from JSCM. Hallelujah. Because I'm staying on staff with CCC. God's not calling me out of that. So I don't take a salary here. So if next month my supporters decided to stop sending in their checks, I'd have to find a new job because I'll be married and broke. Hallelujah. Anyways, going back to the story. About not 15 years, but 15 weeks after I received that word of prophecy, I made a presentation at my home church in New Jersey. Told them about my move to Korea. And then after the service, the church treasurer came up to me and said, "Hey, Christian, somebody wrote you an anonymous check." And I was like, "Oh, hallelujah. Bring it on. How much is it?" And he's like, "It's $9,000. So I was like, huh? Right? I told the story so many times, right? Did you count the zeros? And he was like, no, it says it right there. $9,000. Hallelujah. This happened to coincide when I started tithing from my gross. So hallelujah. I was like, hallelujah, I'm going to keep on gross, tithing from my gross income, Lord. But what I have forgotten was this was a direct fulfillment of the word of prophecy that was spoken over me a few months before that. To make it even more interesting, even after I cashed in that $9,000, I still had a good amount of credit card debt remaining. Because I had over $10,000. Hallelujah. And I was also moving to Korea, which is expensive. A month later, as I continued to stand on God's promises and believe his prophetic word, a guy that I don't even know, who just simply heard about my ministry through one of my disciples, he decided to send me a check for $2,750. Something like that. Hallelujah. Now, the amazing part was the remaining balance on my credit card debt was just below $2,700. God is a God who overflows our cup. Amen? See, God was like, I'm not just paying off your debt. I'm going to just show you that it's me by overflowing it. Hallelujah. Now, you may think that this is a regular occurrence for KCCC staff. I'll tell you right now, it ain't. Okay, this doesn't happen to me all the time. Raising support is tough. And I wish this was normal. But nope, this was a direct fulfillment of the word of prophecy that God spoke through Brother Michael. And because that word was spoken in advance, what I did was I waited and I trusted God till it was fulfilled. And the entire experience, it edified my faith and caused me to trust God even more. Remember, these gifts are given for edification. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Amen? That gift of prophecy, it edifies our faith. If y'all want to hear one more example, let me say, yeah. Now, if you're thinking, hey, Brother Michael, he's this pastor. By the way, he's an Italian-American dude. All right? He's old. He's this pastor. You might think he's a pastor. He has a seminary degree. He's older. God can use him in that way. But I don't know if God can use me like that. Okay. Well, let me share you about a sister named Hannah who ministers with the gift of prophecy. Okay. On two occasions, I had her pray over people that she never met that I was ministering deliverance to. And the worst prophetic utterance that she gave, it gave me the key to get a breakthrough in those deliverance sessions. I also had her pray for my roommate. And she said things so accurately from his spiritual walk to the coarseness of his hair. All right, my roommate started like almost crying when he read the email. I had her pray over one of my disciples. And she said that he was about to join staff with CCC. And that was right on. That he was preparing to go into full-time ministry. And it was right on. And I will say that she moves in the gift of prophecy even more powerfully than Brother Michael. And by the way, she's a year younger than me. All right, she's Paragon. Hallelujah. She doesn't have some kind of special, she's not older. She's just like you and me. And she moves in the gift of prophecy. You know, when Aaron and I, we started our relationship a year ago, we began seeing each other. And after two wonderful weeks, we decided to break off the courtship and to wait and pray because Aaron's family, they weren't down with the relationship at that time. All right, they had their concerns, and we thought we'd be respectful and wait. And although the wait only ended up being 2 months, all right, it was really, really tough. Because when I was in the wait, I didn't know how long it was going to be. You know what I mean? And you see, just a little bit earlier, there was a girl that I really liked back in New York. And when I would pray, God would call me to continue praying and waiting for her. And so I did. And that took 2 years of waiting. And after those 2 years, God finally revealed that she wasn't the one. And although there were lots of blessings for having trusted and waited on the Lord, you know, I didn't want to wait that long again, right? And so during my time apart from Aaron, I kept asking God, Lord, is she the one? Is she the one? Is she the one? And so I asked my friend Hannah, Hannah, I need to know. Use that gift of yours, something useful here. Pray for me, girl. So she prayed and she typed up her prayer. I'll read to you the exact prayer that she typed up for me. She sent out. Hallelujah. We live in a new age. Hallelujah. All right. As she is saying it out, she's typing it up. Hallelujah. You know, I just receive it. Hallelujah. This is what she said. She said, Father, this brother really wants to hear from you. He keeps asking you, talking to you about Aaron, asking and asking. Father, give the brother some answers. Slap him in the face with them. He really wants to hear from you. Father, you know that this brother wants to have a solid answer about Aaron. He doesn't want to waste time, and he doesn't want to go through. He wants to go to the direct route. He doesn't want to find himself down the same road in the same place. He wants precision and fine-tuning to your will, especially about the issue of his future wife and ministry partner. So, Lord, I want to ask on my brother's behalf, is she the one? But I feel as if that is the wrong question for my brother. The question that you want me to ask is, how can Christians serve Aaron? How can Christian serve Aaron? How can my brother lay down his life for Aaron? Now, when I read this prayer, I was cut to the heart. I knew right away that it was the very words of God just speaking right to my situation. You know, when I was reading the Bible at that time, I would take verses like in the Psalms, like, Lord, how long, oh Lord, how long must I wait? How long for my persecutors persecute me? Lord, the hearts of kings are in your hand like a water course. You direct it where you want it to go. Lord, the heart of Aaron's father, you can certainly direct. And those are the kind of words I was holding on to. And all I wanted to know was, is she the one? And God spoke this word of prophecy. You see, I was so focused on myself that I was asking the wrong question. You see, God was going to reveal soon enough whether she was the one or not. But during that season of waiting, God wanted me to serve Aaron, to bless Aaron, regardless of whether I marry her or not. So you can see clearly that the gift of prophecy is used for exhortation. I'll tell you, after I received that word, I started treating Aaron a whole lot differently. I started praying for her a whole lot differently. And man, God started doing amazing things in her life. You know? Hallelujah. The gift of prophecy is used for our exaltation. Amen? And you might be asking right now, well, Christian, I thought the gift of prophecy regards the future. What's all this exhortation about? Edification. What about the future? I want to know about the future. And some of y'all are so concerned about the future that you go to see psychics and tarot card readers, mediums and spiritists, which the Word of God has clearly forbidden, for which if you go to them, you will be defiled by them, and the Lord will set his face against you. But some people are so concerned, so worried about their future, they go to even mediums and psychics, or their parents go, and it brings iniquity, it brings consequences into their life. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? The gift of prophecy does regard the future. It includes that too. In fact, I'll tell you right now, my college ministry, My pastorship here at JSCM, my coming to Korea, it was all prophesied over me before any of these things were even on the horizon. Back in September of last year, I had no idea what Pastor Sam was going to leave or not. I was happy as a prayer team leader. And I don't particularly feel that I have a pastoral calling. I don't have the call to the office of pastor. But Brother Michael, when he was praying for me in September, he said, Brother, are you seeking some kind of ordination? And I was like, no. When he prayed, he said that you are coming into a leadership magnitude, a leadership anointing. And God and Brother Michael released that and was praying for me. Lord, give him wisdom, give him humility for this hour in which you're bringing him into a leadership magnitude. And then Brother Michael saw a vision. And he said, I thought maybe you were seeking ordination because I saw a vision. And in the vision, there were pastors that were gathered around you. And they were laying hands on you to commission you. All right. So later on, when I was asked to consider stepping up to be the lead pastor of JSCM, that word came back to haunt me. That word came back and reminded me. Holy Spirit was like, remember that? That's me. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Remember that word about my future wife, that she'll be beautiful inside and out? Well, here, look at her right now. I think it's clear today that all of God's promises are in Christ. Yes and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, any true spirit-filled believer can move in the gift of prophecy. To be fair, let me tell you, there are different levels of prophecy. There's a simple level, and then there are deeper levels. The deeper levels may involve times, places. It may be prophecies over cities and nations. Okay? The deeper level is often reserved for those who have a call to the office of prophet. All right? In fact, every one of the supernatural gifts, all right, they will have a stronger anointing to it when they're linked up with the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, my point is, any of you can move in the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. Somebody say, especially. Especially the gift of prophecy. Paul doesn't say, hey, don't seek it. This is reserved for just a few. He says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And after a couple of years being mentored by Brother Michael, toward the end of our discipleship time together, he started saying, Brother, I want you to start seeking the gift of prophecy right away. Start seeking it with all your heart. And as you seek, I don't know how many years it's going to take, but God's going to start using you in that area. The Word of God says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to what? Be eager to prophesy. Be eager to give advice? No. You know, sometimes, you know, our advice can help people. Other times, man, our advice can be off. Man, sometimes people give me advice, I just look at them, and I just can't wait till they're done. It's just this generic advice that doesn't really apply to me. You know, and in love, I just want to bless them, so I just listen to what they have to say. But it ain't going to minister to me. Right? Words of advice, it doesn't say be eager to give advice, it says be eager to prophesy. Because when you prophesy, it's not you speaking, the Spirit of God is inspiring those words for you to utter. And when you utter those words, I tell you right now, the Holy Spirit, he don't beat around the bush or waste his time. His words are going to be precise to convict, reveal, to edify, to exhort. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I want to I want to encourage everybody in here to be eager to prophesy. All right? But in order to begin, you got to step out on the water. Amen? You got to step out on the water. You got to tell the Lord, Lord, I surrender myself fully to you, and I make myself available so I can edify the church. Lord, I'm eager to prophesy. Use me in this way. That's got to be the heart of our prayer, brothers and sisters. And when you start praying like that, you see, this kind of attitude is the attitude of faith. I'll tell you right now, my God is a God who always honors faith. But I'll tell you right now, there are people who go, oh man, you know what? There are just so many dangers with the gift of prophecy. If I open myself up to this, man, I don't know. There's just so many potential for error, mistakes. Not to mention, there are also evil spirits that can lead people astray. Lord, just use me in the natural gifts you've given to me. I'm going to leave prophesying to others. I'm just going to leave that up to others. And some people think, and they pray that, and they think that's like some kind of noble prayer. Right? I don't want it, and I don't want anyone prophesying over me because it's too dangerous. Brothers and sisters, it's too dangerous is a poor argument. Let me just apply that to anything right now. Let's apply that to knives. Oh, Christian, you can't use that knife. It's too dangerous. Man, I'm just cutting my chicken. Can you leave me alone? We know that knives are used in ways by people that is very, very dangerous. But it don't keep us from using them in the kitchen. Or take an example, cars. Man, my mom's always on me about, man, cars are so dangerous. I don't know what she does. She like studies a statistical report each week about how many car accidents there were in the country or something. I don't know, she's just always so worried. But we all know cars are dangerous, but that don't keep us from getting into a car. It don't keep us from driving a car. It's a poor argument. But it's the same with the gift of prophecy, right? That's one argument that you can't use to oppose the gift of prophecy. It's a poor argument. Come to think about it, you know what? This is not just a cautious heart. Because some people say, man, I'm just being cautious. Brother, I don't want to make no mistakes. You know, I just want to stay true to the word of God. I just want to stay safe. Just stay cautious. Right? They think that's a noble heart. But brothers and sisters, that's not just a cautious heart. You know what I think? I think it's a cowardly heart. That's what the real issue is. Because if it was just about caution, those people would look into it and come to a conclusion. But they never come to a conclusion. Why? Because the real issue is they have a cowardly heart. That's exactly the kind of heart that the man with the one talent had. Right? He was so fearful that he ended up burying his talent and doing nothing with what the master had given him. Brothers and sisters, don't bury the gifts of the Spirit. Each of you can move in these gifts if only you will make yourself available and ask God to use you. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 13 with me. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Word of God says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. It's too dangerous is a poor argument, but people do use this text to try to argue that the gift of prophecy is not for today. Okay? If you read here, it says that prophecies will cease. Tongues will cease. Knowledge, as we experienced it here on this earth, will cease. All right, and I'll tell you the truth. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy, will come to an end. But there are some people that take this and they say, the gift of prophecy has come to an end. And what they argue is, they look here and they say, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. So there are men that are respectable in the Christian circle that say that what the Word of God here is talking about, the perfection that comes, they're talking about the canon of Scripture. So when, in the early church, when the Word of God was canonized, when it was put together and compiled, that's what this is talking about. The perfection came. So when the last of the apostles died and the Word of God was compiled and put together, the gift of prophecy ceased. It was done away with. Okay, that is an argument that I can respect. It's too dangerous. I'm being cautious. I can't respect that argument. I'm sorry. But that argument I can respect. But there's two ways to look at that. One is to say that the perfection is talking about the Word of God being canonized. But the perfection could also mean the second coming of Christ. You see, when the perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. See, when Jesus returns in all his glory, we don't have to keep looking to the gift of prophecy anymore. Hallelujah. Okay, and those are two simple arguments. I'm going to just leave it like that. All right, go read your books. Do your homework. I'm going to just leave it like that. But to make the argument that it's too dangerous is a poor argument, brothers and sisters. All right, let me just tell you that. So let me go back to just a practical application. If you're praying for somebody and you feel a stirring in your belly, I encourage you, yield yourself to God. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Open your mouth and utter and speak by the Spirit of God. All right, be careful that when you do prophesy, that it's under the anointing. All right, and that it's backed up by the anointing. All right, you don't want to, if you're going to speak in the natural, you just speak in the natural and give advice. Or you just pray in the natural, just pray in the natural. Pray with your mind. But if you're going to prophesy, it needs to bubble up out of your belly. It can't come from weeks of meditation upon and analyzing what's going on in your friend's life and then trying to give it like it's a prophetic word. Okay, no, that's going to border on blasphemy. All right, that's what the gift of prophecy operates. It comes out of the anointing. So when the presence and power of God gets stirred in a place, all right, that's when the gifts of the Spirit like prophecy are going to manifest. All right, so you got to make sure the anointing's there. And remember in my first sermon about the gifts, that all of these gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills, not as we will. Okay? The occultic gifts of the demonic, the dark realm, are as the person wills. But the gifts of the Spirit are always as the Spirit wills, as He determines. All you can do is prepare for the anointing by stirring yourself up, preparing your heart, and then waiting on the Spirit of God. So, you know, when Brother Michael or Hannah, they minister to me with the gift of prophecy, you know what they do? Before they begin to prophesy, right? They don't just say, oh, Brother Christian, hallelujah, how are you? It's been a long time. Let me prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, but like, they don't do that. You know what they do? We pray and we just worship God. We start to pray in tongue and we get stirred up. And then Brother Michael holds my hand so hard, I feel like I'm going to break my hand. And he just gets so excited, and then the anointing starts to flow. And then the gift of prophecy starts to flow. The anointing's got to be there. Hallelujah. So you gotta ready yourself by getting stirred up, all right? Now, this brings us to the last two of the gifts of utterance. The second gift of utterance is called the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues. And this is also closely tied to the third gift, which is the interpretation of tongues. All right. Now, I don't know if you were there at Friday Fire about a month ago. There's a message called Stir It Up. In that message, I talked about the gift of tongue. All right. So I'm not going to talk about it here that much. But if you remember, for those who heard it, I mentioned a month ago that the gift of different tongues is not your prayer language. Okay. Somebody say prayer language. A lot of people here at JSCM, they pray in tongues, but it is not the manifestation of the nine gifts of the Spirit. If we were to if you were to conveniently categorize it, this is the best way, I think, to look at it. All right, to clarify these things. All right, the nine gifts of the Spirit, the gift of different kinds of tongues, is not your prayer language. All right? I know in experience that it may not be convenient, because sometimes your prayer language can overlap into the manifestation of the gift of different kinds of tongues. Or sometimes the gift of different kinds of tongues can also manifest and overlap into your prayer language, and it's vice versa. Like, you know, Brother Michael, you know, when he starts to prophesy before he prophesies, you know, back in the day when I wasn't comfortable with tongue, he actually, in love, he wouldn't speak in tongue in front of me. He wouldn't pray in tongue in front of me. But after he noticed that I received the baptism of the Spirit, he didn't care. He prayed at the top of his lungs. I can't even hear myself. And he gets all stirred up. And he starts to pray. Right? I'm going to freak you out for those who aren't comfortable with this. But, you know, you pray like shandala, shandala, you know, shandala, shandala, or something like that. All right? Hallelujah. Shandala, shandala, shandala. And you know what Hannah does. Hannah goes, letada, letada, letada. She just repeats like a little simple phrase. But that for her is enough for her to get stirred up in the anointing. She goes, Spirit of the Lord. Brother is saying that you've been going through a crossroad and trying to come to a decision. And that'll freak you out if you first experienced it. But you know what? That's how the people are getting stirred up in the anointing. And sometimes it overlaps, so it's not convenient to do that. But you know what? I think this is the best healthy way to look at it. Okay? Your prayer language is not the gift of different kinds of tongues. Okay? So, for example, if a person got up on this mic and started to speak in their prayer language, right? Yamaha la maraha banana Monday. Wow, that was powerful. Okay. And they get up and do something like that, but in fact, when the person they spoke, it wasn't a prophetic message. It was just them praying in their prayer language or worshiping God in their prayer language. Okay? That is not the manifestation of this gift. All right? And a spiritual authority should be able to discern that. Okay? If you have spiritual authorities in the room, they'll be able to tell. And that's why Paul gives instructions in 1 Corinthians 14 about how to use the prophetic utterances that come from the gift of tongues in an orderly manner. Okay? But if you look closely, Paul talks about two things. One is a private use of the gift of tongue, and the other is a public use of it. And the public use is like prophecy. Okay? Hallelujah. Nevertheless, every one of the nine gifts of the Spirit manifests as the Spirit wills, not as you will. But when you use your prayer language, who's the one willing it? It's you. Okay? But when the person gets stirred up with a gift of different kinds of tongues, it's going to be as the Spirit wills. That's the difference. All right. So messages in the gift of different kinds of tongues is powerful. And believe me, it's supernatural when it happens. There will always be an interpretation. Almost always there will be an interpretation. So if you feel today, right, you got a gift of tongue and you got a prophetic message behind it, you better have an interpretation. And you better ask me before you get up on the mic. Because if you just get up on the mic, all right, our media team back there will tackle you. Make sure you get off the stage with a quickness. Or turn off that boy's mic. Turn it off right now. All right? We're not going to have that. All right? If you're going to have a message in tongue, you better have an interpretation. All right? Because when God does that, there's always going to be an interpretation, whether it's in you or through someone else. Unless it's given forth as a sign. Sometimes it's given as a sign, in which instance the person can speak in a tongue, but then another person receives it in their own language. All right? So I'm going to give you some examples right now about this. All right? This is really bizarre. Okay? Gift of tongue is bizarre. All right? Let me tell you right now. It was bizarre in Acts chapter 2, and it's bizarre today. So you know what? Just get comfortable with it. It's always been there. It's always been like that. All right? Some people think, man, it's just so bizarre. I don't want it to be part of my Christian life. All right? You need to really just grab yourself a ladder and get over it. Okay? Because, you know, it's the bizarre part's not going away. It's not. Hallelujah. Ronnie Howard Brown, he's a minister from Africa. And one time he was ministering, in an African village, and he got a word of knowledge during the meeting that there was a man with a heart problem in the room. So he called up that man and said, "Brother, come up here right now because the Lord's going to heal you." All right? And unfortunately, this guy had two hearing aids. He was deaf in both ears. All right. So as Dr. Brown placed his hands on him, the power of God came upon this brother, and he fell to the ground under the power of God. All right. And then Brother Dr. Brown took out his hearing aids, and all of a sudden he started hearing. He was healed instantly. But as Dr. Brown was praying over him, he spoke in tongues. And as he was doing this and praying for the guy, this guy, I guess he was just so drunk in the spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody drunk in the spirit. They stagger around like they're drunk. Okay, this guy, that's bizarre too, by the way. That's bizarre too. All right, hallelujah. But anyway, he was staggering around. He was just drunk in the spirit. He got healed. And Dr. Brown just said some stuff in tongues. And after this was done, some man in the audience raised his hand and said, "Excuse me, Dr. Brown." And Dr. Brown's like, "What? What is this? This is not a question and answer session. Yes?" And the guy goes, "You just spoke in suksa." And so Dr. Brown's like, "What?" And his father speaks suksa. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's X-H-O-U-S-A. Anyway, his father understands suksa. And his father said that his son didn't speak suksa. He spoke in tongue. He just heard some tongue. Right? But the suksa people that were there that understood suksa from the suksa people, they heard it coming out as suksa. Okay? So Dr. Brown's like, "Well, what did I say?" They were like, "Dr. Brown, you said that God is giving you a heart of a horse." Right away, all the people in the Susa people, when they heard that, they just start getting stirred up. Do you know why? Because in Susa culture, when you say that, remember, this man had a heart problem. It wasn't just him being deaf. He had a heart problem. In Susa culture, to have a strong heart, if you ask them, "What does it mean to have a strong heart?" they're going to answer, "Is to have a heart of a horse." See, that was relevant to their culture. What Dr. Brown was speaking in tongue, God used it as a sign to speak to the suksa people. Do you understand? All right, that's a strange manifestation of it, but this happens. Okay, I'll give you another example. I read about a lady who just was on the missions field in India for a long time, came back to her home church deeply discouraged. Her first Sunday that she was here, a woman got up and delivered a message in tongues. The church waited for the interpretation. And this missionary lady got up sobbing uncontrollably. And she just heard the lady, and she got up and said that lady who spoke in tongue wasn't just speaking in any unknown language. She was speaking in the dialect of the people in the Indian village that she had just come from. And God was speaking through this lady and said, "Go back to India. Your time is not done. Go back and harvest what has yet to be harvested." And for her, that served as such a powerful edification. You know what I'm saying? That other lady, man, she just spoke in tongue. But hallelujah, God manifested a known language to her. Hallelujah. I believe there's coming a day when God will use Aaron to speak in tongue to the church, and I'm going to stand right next to her and give the interpretation of that tongue. Hallelujah. Won't that be mushisa? That'd be cool. You know, there's some couples that do that. And when the gift of tongues is coupled with the interpretation of tongues, this is equivalent to prophecy. Okay? Equivalent to prophecy. That's why it's so powerful. And I believe, brothers and sisters, just as God poured out his spirit at Pentecost, he's going to manifest the tongues of fire on his people so that they may hear us praising God in various languages just like they did at Pentecost. God's going to pour out his spirit. Joel chapter 2 says, "In the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will" what? Will give advice? No, will prophesy. And see, God doesn't even just say the age thing. When he says sons and daughters, he's talking about age. He says, I don't care about the age. They're going to be 7 years old. You know, at IHOP, you got seven-year-old kids that are moving in the prophetic. You go to these prophecy rooms. They have rooms where people are practicing their gift. And you can go in there and get prayed for. You got little seven-year-olds prophesying. And you think you're 27. You feel like you still can't do it. All right? But it's not an age thing. And in Joel, it also says it's not a status thing. It's because even on my men servants and maid servants, even on the lowliest of those in your class, of your income levels, even on them, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Not just on the rich, but on the poor. Hallelujah. And they will prophesy. Think about it. If God can scatter the peoples of the world by giving them languages at the Tower of Babel, God can certainly give us the use of languages to scatter the gospel to the entire known world. Amen? If God can give languages like that instantly, back then, he can still do it today. And he still does it today. And some of your tongues, it might be some ancient Hebrew language that was forgotten. It could be in some dialect of Cantonese. And when you go on a mission trip to that village in China, and all of a sudden everybody's freaking out, like, why is that dude with the white skin speaking our language? And you'd be, oh, it's just my prayer language. Right? Some people, they have some, it's just like, it's just Sandra Sandra or something, you know? Other people, it's like some unknown language. Although it's unknown to us, it's known to God. God is the one who gave languages. You know, I used to think languages were invented by men. That, you know, men sat down and they were like, Kiyuk, Niyot, is that A, B, oh, this looks like an alphabet. Oh, how did I even know to say that? Oh, let's write this down. And then people invented language. All right. But, you know, people who study linguistics, they'll tell you, man, language is amazing. It's amazing to study languages because so much diversity. Man, when I heard about the Thai language, I was blown away. That was the first time I heard about tonal language. They're like, ma, 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 ma. I said, like, what's the difference? What? Be careful. You always say sawatika. But if you say sawatika, that is a curse. I'm like, whoa! Oh, no, I never learned Thai. Man, language is crazy. It's creative. There's an infinite variety. Why? Because God gave language. And God still gives it. Hallelujah. And sometimes when you're praying in your prayer language, you want to understand what you're saying. But you know what? You don't need to understand everything that you're saying. All you got to do is believe the word of God that God's Spirit is interceding for you, praying the perfect will of God into your life. Sometimes it's better for you not to know. Because if you knew the details of the perfect will for your life, man, you might just say no to it. You might say, well, I don't want to pray that. I have to marry who? Woo! You know, it's like, santara, santara, song, santara, santara, song. Like, whoa, I keep hearing song in my language there. Right? Hallelujah. Maybe God's like hiding it, you know? You're really praying, Lord, work in Sung's life, and may I marry Sung next year. Sung is so handsome. Make him handsome to my eyes. Sung is so awesome. Lord, bless him. Pour out your spirit on him. You could be praying that. You don't even know. All you're praying is sandra, 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 some, you know, some kind of language. You may not want to know. But what you want the perfect will of God in your life. Amen? That's why it takes faith to pray in tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My message is getting too long. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Now, brothers and sisters, people think that faith is the big key to moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And faith is a major element, but I'll tell you, it's not the only element. If you look in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, it talks all about spiritual gifts. But in between these two chapters, there's a chapter called 13. And you notice that this is the famous wedding passage on love. Okay. But you know what? This chapter is not about weddings. All right, it's talking about spiritual gifts and the most excellent way in which we ought to minister. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says that you can prophesy and operate in all the gifts, but if you have not love, then you're just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. That's because love is an important element in moving in the gifts of the Spirit. When you love people and you desire to see them healed and blessed, touched, and reached by the love of God, the gifts of the Spirit are going to manifest through you. Love. The more you love people, the stronger the gifts are going to operate. The power of God is going to fall on you as you love people. But you know what? There's also one more element that people miss. You know, some people know about faith. And yeah, they agree that love is good. But they're missing the third element. Third element is called the anointing. Okay? The operation of the gifts of the Spirit, it works by the anointing. If you don't have an anointing, all right, the things that you're saying is just probably coming out of your flesh. It's coming out of your mind. It's coming out of just your own fleshly understanding. This is why the gifts of the Spirit manifest most abundantly during retreats and revivals, miracle crusades. Why? Because during worship services, because the anointing is flowing. It creates an atmosphere of faith where the Spirit of God loves that atmosphere of just worship and faith, and the anointing begins to flow. The anointing is key. Hallelujah. And sometimes the anointing is going to fall on people like a sensation of heat. You know, some people, oh, I'm just getting so hot in here. And they're standing right next to the air conditioner. Or sometimes the sensation of electricity. You know, a couple of Fridays ago, Erin, you know, nobody prayed for her, but the anointing was flowing through the room. And I was praying for another sister who was standing nearby right next to Erin, and the anointing was flowing. Hallelujah. And I was praying for this sister. And all of a sudden, I hear a big boom. I don't know what just happened. I look over, and Erin just fell to the floor, and nobody caught her. And I thought she was hurt, so I paused and went down there. I was like, baby, you all right? Baby, you okay? She's like, and she couldn't move. Why? Because the anointing of the Spirit was so powerful upon her. And she said later on that it felt like electricity. Like, ooh, electricity, ooh. Hallelujah. she said something like that. Hallelujah. And sometimes the anointing is going to feel like that. But sister, the anointing is key. All right, if you're going to move in the gifts of the Spirit. That's why when Brother Michael or Hannah, when they pray for me before they operate in the gift of prophecy, what do? They get stirred up. They pray in tongues. They start worshiping God together with me. Why? Because that stirs, that allows the anointing to start flowing. Okay? So if a person just comes up to you in a parking lot and was like, brother, I got to prophesy to you. I got a word for you. All right. I'll be a little suspicious. I'll be like, all right, well, you keep that word to yourself. Can you write it on a note? Give it to me later. All right. Because if the anointing is not flowing, I wouldn't trust exactly what's happening there. All right. If you're going to pray for healing for somebody, don't just be like, hey, let me come over here. Let me pray. Be healed in Jesus' name. All right. I guess I'm sorry. Nothing's happening. So, you know, you got to worship God. You got to get stirred up. All right, get the prayer team over. Hey, everybody, come here. Christian, why are you calling us over again? All right, just pray with me. Stir it up here. Stir it up. Let's pray for the healing. All right, and the anointing starts to flow. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She reached out, grabbed the hem of Jesus' robe, and the word of God says power flowed into her body, and she felt the power. It wasn't like a couple months later she noticed that the bleeding stopped. Right there, she felt something go into her body. And she started probably to tremble and knew that something was being healed and done in her body. Hallelujah. And when Jesus said, who touched me? The woman came trembling at his feet because the woman knew she was healed. That's the anointing. That power she felt was the anointing of the Spirit. Jesus was called the anointed one. Why did Jesus go out early in the morning to pray? Because he needed to get stirred up. He needed to make sure that the anointing was flowing through him. The Son of God in the flesh, he himself had to go and get stirred up. What makes us think that we're the exception, right? Anointing is the key. Hallelujah. John 2:20 says, you have an unction. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. When you get under the anointing, brothers and sisters, Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. All right? Into certain situations, you go into a supermarket. I heard testimonies of people in a supermarket, you know? And they're standing in line and they see some lady in a wheelchair and the anointing just starts to flow. And they start worshiping God. Oh, I love you, God. I rejoice. And God's just like, go pray for that woman in the wheelchair. Oh, Lord, I just love you. Go pray for that woman in the wheelchair. Lord, I love you a lot. And anointing starts to flow. And people who step out, they pray for people. You know, right now in America, people who are in part of charismatic churches, you know where the common place of ministry is becoming? Walmart. People are coming out of wheelchairs, throwing off their crutches inside Walmart. Because these church members are there, they want to practice, and they got nowhere to go, so they go to Walmart, and God just starts to flow with the anointing. So they just go with it, and just pray for people. People get healed, they prophesy over people. People get so edified. Hallelujah. We need to do that here in Korea, amen? We need to do that on E-Mart. Hallelujah. Or Costco. Turn Costco around for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I don't know how I'm going to end this message. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:1. I just want to close with saying, the word of God says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you today, get out the boat, step out on the water, get stirred up, all right, and begin to open your wet mouth. And don't be afraid of making mistakes. Just step out. All right. If you make a mistake, then be humble enough to admit it. You know, sometimes I'll be the first one to tell you that if I minister on a Friday fire and I pray for somebody and I pray very specifically for them, and then later on I go up to them and I ask you, hey, did any of that prayer make sense to you? God's like, man, that had nothing to do with me. All right, I'll just be like, man, why you gotta say it like that? No, I just say, man, all right, yeah, I guess I was just off. You know, I guess, you know, I'm still learning. And you know what? You're not going to be 100% mistake-free, all right? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to say things that's really out of your understanding, what you thought was just from the Spirit of God. And as you get closer to God, as you spend more time in quiet time, that discernment's going to get clearer. You're going to be able to move more powerfully. Hallelujah. But that needs to be built up. It doesn't happen overnight. In the meantime, God's not telling you, don't do anything. Just stay put. God's telling you, walk out on the water right now. He wants us to start moving in all nine of these spiritual gifts, making ourselves available so that we may edify the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And let me just say one last thing about the gift of prophecy. The words that are spoken from the gift of prophecy, they do not have the same authority as the word of God. They are not on par with the word of God's authority. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay? The gift of prophecy does not judge this. This judges the gift of prophecy. The word of God says, test the spirits to make sure that they're from God. Well, the way you test it is you use this. You use the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. This is what you use to judge prophecy, not the other way around. So people who are a part of the Mormon church, all right, people who are part of Mussulmanism, which is Jehovah's Witnesses, all right, and other cults, pseudo-Christian cults, that claim prophecy, or Muhammad, who started Islam because he claimed a prophecy that was on higher authority than Scripture, okay? They're not speaking by the Spirit of God, because God's Spirit would always affirm the Word of God. It will never go against the Word of God. And every gift of prophecy ought to be tested by the Word of God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for this church. And Lord, hallelujah.